This reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. These verses just fill me with joy as I reflect on the gift that Jesus is to us from God, our wonderful counsellor, our Prince of Peace. Let me now read. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burnt as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Well, I'm so glad that you tuned in to join us today. As Ed said, my name's Kev, I'm the minister, and we're thrilled to have you with us as we begin our Christmas celebrations. So this is Christmas, as John Lennon once said. No nativity plays this year, the wise men are on a travel ban, shepherds have been furloughed, and no room for at the inn for anyone under tier 3 restrictions. On the positive side, apparently Santa's been declared to be a key worker. But Rudolph's isolating, all because of that big red nose. Happy Christmas. We seem to expect both more of it and less of it this year at the same time, don't we? So less of it, obviously, because it's not going to be the same without the parties and the hugs. But more of it in a weird way, too, because we just crave some joy. The trees went up earlier this year for many of us. I've been pressured on the decorations for months now. When your six-year-old and four-year-old start quoting scientific research at you, Daddy, do you not know that early decorating elicits positive emotions and enhances psychological well-being? There's not a lot you can say to that. And maybe you wouldn't even normally tune into a church carol service, but this year, it's a nice distraction. I mean, come on, religion. Do your bit to help us all get in the spirit. Well, that final Bible reading began sounding very 2020, didn't it? Gloom, anguish, darkness, deep darkness. Deep darkness means the darkness of death. Not a lot of festive tingle here. I wonder if I asked you to sum up your year, which of the words that we just went through there would sum it up? Maybe just a bit of gloom, sad that plans have been so disrupted. Perhaps anguish, maybe you've struggled mentally. Others of us will have been to even darker places this year. Maybe a brush with death yourself, or the tragedy of loved ones snatched away by this wretched plague. I'm so sorry if that is the case for you. Over today and next Sunday and then Christmas Eve, we're going to go on a journey through this poetic ancient prophecy. We'll see light dawn. We'll glimpse a better future. And we'll hear that hope crystallizes in the birth of a baby. This reading feels different in style from the narrative accounts of Jesus's birth. it was written 700 years before his birth. That means almost 3,000 years ago from now. The place names sound very unfamiliar, but how much resonates here? As we read again, gloom, anguish, darkness. I've been reading the Bible for decades. I didn't quite come out of the womb holding one, but not far off it. And, you know, one of the things that I love about this book is when it seems to connect with the questions or anxieties or experiences or emotions that come straight from my own life and from this world. I love that experience of feeling like God in his word gets me, because he does. He gets you. He gets it about the burdens you've been carrying in 2020, as he knew precisely the burdens his people were carrying back in the old days. God's people Israel were in a very dark place economically, militarily. But those problems were just the symptoms of a deeper spiritual darkness, one they'd actually chosen to walk into. That sounds very strange, doesn't it? Why would you choose to walk away from light? Light is safety. Light is comfort. The lights of Christmas. I wonder, what do you think of people who do this to their homes? Stop judging them. Well, if you are their grumpy neighbor, apparently this is the cool thing to do in response. See, light is good. And it's not just jolly. Light lights the way. The people in our reading walked in darkness because they deliberately walked from the light of God. We sometimes think it can be quite an enlightened thing to do to outgrow God. But without the light of God's truth illuminating us, well, everyone makes up their own definition of what's true. That leads to a world full of speculation and superstition and ignorance. People not even able to agree on the definition of right and wrong. Disenlightenment, you could call it. And it was a disaster for them back then, as it is for us today. Let's be honest. We've all together walked away from our Maker into the darkness. Now, of course, it's not all bad, even in a year like this one. War on COVID has produced its heroes. For some, family life has flourished. And yet, racism, abuse. You know, some people have a rubbish Christmas every year. And as for death, well, over 1,500 people die in the UK every day, even in the good times. There's so much in life that's beautiful, but this dark world will be the death of each of us in the end. And I'm afraid the brokenness is all just symptoms of a human race that has walked away from the light. And I'm afraid there's worse to come, because we all deserve the darkness of God's judgment for our share in the ruining of his world. Happy Christmas. Well, they say the darkest moment comes just before the dawn. Verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. This was the front page of The Economist a couple of weeks ago. Hope is a syringe. And this prophecy that we've just read is also predicting light at the end of the tunnel. For to us a child is born, it says, to us a son given. replace that syringe with a wooden trough containing a newborn? That's what was being illustrated in the video, a son with his eyes open to the anguish, a world that doesn't deserve his help at all, and still he steps inside. He chooses to enter in, even though this dark world would ultimately become the death of him. You know, that Bethlehem stable, it was like the first smudge of sunlight on the horizon that tells you morning is coming and nothing can stop it now. And that's why Matthew's gospel, just after the wise men, quotes our verses as the adult Jesus steps onto the stage. Because it was prediction fulfilled in Galilee when that particular son arrived. Friends, Christmas says that God has come good on his promise and that light has shined. Boris says the vaccine is salvation for humanity. Well, boy, do we long for it, and boy, do we long to see the back of this year. But Jesus comes as light of the world, offering a more ambitious hope. And you need to read on in our reading and in the Gospels. This is Matthew that I just quoted from. I'd love you to dip into a Gospel if you haven't done that for a while, or maybe never. Enjoy watching the light of the world shine. He banishes gloom everywhere he goes with his teaching and his beauty and his power. A light for revelation, one of our other readings called him. Jesus wants to reveal things to you, and hasn't this year shown us that we don't know everything? It's raised big questions. Was the old normal the right normal? Are the things that we've been living for really important? Why did all this happen this year, and where was God? The vaccine is great news, but it doesn't answer those bigger questions. So I want to encourage you, as you look at a gospel, listen up, as the light of the world not only shows empathy, he engages with the deepest concerns we have. He gets us, remember? And if he is offering answers, don't you want to know them? The light of life, our other reading called him, wasn't the shadow of mortality loomed as never before for our generation? Can you be vaccinated against death? Would it be good to encounter the one who not only comes to experience death himself, but to defeat it? Would it be good to be led by him down a path of eternal life at the end of the tunnel, rather than stay on the road that only sees the darkness ultimately grow deeper? Commentators have been wondering whether COVID will lead to some sort of spiritual revival. Google tells us more people have been searching for the word prayer in 2020. Well, back in ancient Israel, many struggled to return to God, even after such darkness. And many of us will struggle too, I guess. Safer to stay in the shadows? God's light is exposing, but we don't need to fear, because in the rest of this reading, he is the one coming and giving and promising and doing things for us that are only for our good. What if your God really did enter our darkness to bring us into the light? Will you step towards the light? That would mean step towards Jesus, engage with him. It would mean trusting his promises, ultimately, in an uncertain world. It would mean leaning into him more deeply if you are already trying to trust him. Step into the light, will you? Happy Christmas.